Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." We've been looking for the last couple of episodes at this issue of what exactly is meant by the idea of the exhortation, that encouragement that all members of the body of Christ are supposed to be having for each other as part of the ministry that we have to the fellow members of the body of Christ. And Paul, our pattern, speaks about the exhortation that he had for these saints in Thessalonica and starts to talk about how, you know, while they were displaying this, it was not done in these manners that he's laying out. We've looked at the idea of the deceit and what the Apostle Paul meant by that. We looked at the idea of the uncleanness and laying out what Paul talked about in his epistles related to that idea of uncleanness. And now we're shifting to this idea of the last piece of what he's saying that the exhortation was not part of, when he says that it was nor in guile. And when you look at that idea of what guile is, you see how the definition of guile talks about, you know, craft, cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit. And the idea of guile is, you know, usually looked at in the idea of it's a bad thing that is being displayed. Now, sometimes people try to, you know, look at the idea of, you know, having this cunning idea is, you know, it's a good thing to be in this way. But you really see that the scriptures never look at the idea of guile in that manner. In fact, we can go over to see a description of something. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to describe an individual using the idea of guile here. And we're going to read verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, which says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And here you have the Apostle Paul writing to this assembly in Corinth and talking about how individuals could be corrupted from the simplicity that they have in Christ. And you really see how, if we look at the things that happen today, that we can see how individuals are really described as being, you know, lured away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And when we talk about that simplicity, the simplicity we have is when we look at this, what salvation is brought by today, and that salvation has nothing to do with any works that we do. It has nothing, no idea of a performance. It has to do with the simple fact that we believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, putting our trust in that and that alone for our salvation, because it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that could have accomplished the victory over sin and death. And the simplicity that we have is that we are identified with what he did, because if it came down to anything that we would do, none of that would ever be good enough to actually take care of the issue of sin. And just as Paul's talking about, you know, that happening to these individuals in Corinth, he's going back and using an example of where the serpents used subtlety, used guile to be able to lead, as it says, beguiled Eve, you know, and takes all the way back on. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. And we're going to go back into the garden here and see this discussion that's going to go on with the serpent here and the beguiling that's actually going to be occurring here. And we're going to start at verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And here you have the serpent. This is Satan that's being described here. And the subtlety that's going to be used to try to lure the woman away from the truth of what God's word said. And that subtlety happens by the fact that it's just a very simple question that's asked. Yea, hath God said? And trying to get the idea of what her understanding of the command that had been given to them actually was. And if you look back for a second in chapter number 2, you see the command that is actually given here in verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so the command that's been given to him is that they may freely eat of any tree that's in the garden, except for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And giving them exactly what was going to happen, that when if they ever did this, thou shalt surely die. Now, what you have, if you read through Genesis chapter number 2, you see how that command has been given to Adam. And then right after that is when you have the creation of the woman, Eve, that's actually going to occur. So what would have happened is that Adam would have instructed her in exactly what God had said, given her the exact command to know that this is what God has asked of us to do. And here you have the serpent just, you know, coming and asking, you know, hath God said? You know, and you're saying, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the serpent quotes parts of what has been said and leaves it as a question for the woman to answer. We see how it is that she actually answers this in verses 2 and 3 when it's of chapter 3. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And what you see here is her lack of understanding of what God had said and how she really takes all this, she adds to it, she deletes words, she leaves out, you know, things of where, okay, I'm going to change the meaning of some of these things. Because you see, it's just, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So she leaves off the word freely, because the command was we may freely eat of the trees of the garden. Then you see how she talks about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 3, it says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden." Now, when you actually go through the book of Genesis, you see how there are actually two trees that would actually be described here. You would have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and would have the tree of life. So she takes and really kind of puts it as, well, you know, it could be that tree, it could be that one, because it's just the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Then she adds in this command of neither shall ye touch it. It was something that God had never said that they were prohibited from doing. And then changes the other one and says, thou shalt surely die. And then puts this, lest ye die. Well, you know, we might die. We might not. You know, who knows what's going to happen if we actually fail to do what God has said. So, due to her lack of understanding of the Word of God, you see that the serpent is now going to be able to very subtly take her understanding, twist some things around to be able to convince her that she should do exactly what God had said not to do. Because you see, starting, you know, in verses 4 and 5, the response of the serpent here, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So you see how the serpent had understood exactly what the command was, because the serpent says, ye shall not surely die, takes it to exactly the command that had been given by God, and then uses this thing of how he's going to convince the woman to actually partake of that fruit by saying, you know, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, giving this very subtle phrase to convince her that it would be okay to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so you see how verse 6 shows the failure here, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So you see how the end result of this discussion is the thing of that she said it's good for food. You know, it's the lust of, you see how all these things are going to fulfill. We see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that's described in 1 John. Of the, you know, being good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And through that subtlety, Satan causes Eve to go against the Word of God. And that's the subtlety, and that's why even describes the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You see how Paul used that phrase in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which we're going to go back to in a moment here, of describing the serpent as being this subtle individual, and using the words that Satan beguiled Eve. Used that deceit, that craftiness, the cunning to lead Eve down the path of what was going to be contrary to what God's word would actually say. And that's why let's go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Because you see Paul, as he continued in that description of describing Satan, is going to make another statement about what happens, unfortunately, to individuals in this dispensation today. We're going to read here verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And the whole idea is that the things that are going to be that beguiling are all going to be things that are going to be contrary to the message that's been given to us in this dispensation. It's going to be contrary to the doctrine that's laid out, starting in the book of Romans and ending with the book of Philemon. That doctrine that directly applies to us today, that doctrine that is, you know, gives us the edification, the building up, gives us that exhortation, the encouragement that's needed. And the beguilement is to take individuals away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. And you see how it starts talking about, you know, another Jesus. You know, that's talking about Jesus Christ being preached according to the prophetic program. The idea of another spirit. You know, the spirit, that you, again, you see in the prophetic program that comes with the sign gifts. Another gospel. The, you know, the gospel message that was given to the nation of Israel. All of these things that are contrary to the message that was given directly to the Apostle Paul for people to be preaching today. That's why you see the warnings that Paul gives about the idea of this being led away from things. So let's go over here to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And we'll see here again in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, where he's going to be describing something that's going to be taking people away from the simplicity of the truth of God's word. And we're going to read here the first two verses of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So here he is talking about the latter days, the end part of this dispensation, and how there's going to be things that are going to be pulling people away from the faith. And when we talk about from the faith, faith can only come from the Word of God. And instead of people putting their faith in the Word of God, they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Things that are contrary to what the Word of God would say for us today. Now, in verse 3, you see how he gives examples of what people would be trying to do. He gives the example of forbidding to marry. He gives the example of commanding to abstain from meats, and how these are things that are examples of what people would be trying to do to take people away from the Word of God, take people away from the things that are going to be exhorting, encouraging the individuals to live the life that God intends for them. You know, this is really the spiritual warfare that we see the Apostle Paul describe that the members of the body of Christ are actually engaged in. You know, it's not a physical battle that we're fighting. It's a spiritual battle of where individuals are trying to be, you know, either standing in the Word of God or they're being pulled away from the truth of God's Word. This is why Paul over and over again has to hold people up that are standing for the Word of God. He has to encourage individuals to continue to stand for the Word of God. You see him give the example, you know, the assembly that we've been studying here. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I want to read here verse number 13, which is a verse we'll be getting to eventually in our study here, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So here you have him holding up this assembly because they were listening to the Apostle Paul teach them, and they were understanding that the information that he was giving to them, you know, this was not Paul's thoughts. You know, it's, you know, you have, unfortunately, some people think today of they, you know, that Paul was some radical individual that was just recording his philosophy. You know, they were not seeing that that was the case. They were taking what was being said and understanding that it was the Word of God. You know, as you see how Paul talks about, for example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, where he lays out the fact that it was given to him to fulfill the Word of God. It was given to him to complete God's Word. And everything that he has recorded for us here in the Scriptures, it is the Word of God. You see, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Now, when you look at the book of 2 Timothy, which is the last epistle that Paul wrote, you see how he's going to have to be giving these warnings over and over again because individuals are turning away from the Word of God. You see how there are all these different examples where he's going to lay out that people have walked away from the truth of the message that was given to him. And so he has to be saying these things to be, you know, encouraging Timothy to be standing for the Word of God rightly divided. In chapter 1, you see, we're going to read here starting in verse number 13, which says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." So here you have Paul talking about how they're to hold fast the form of sound words. They're to be holding to the doctrine that Paul has given to them, standing in this, because it's been committed unto them to be preaching this. And then you see how the very next verse starts to type out that this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So the one example he gives here, you know, is he's telling Timothy to hold fast to the form of sound words. He's telling him, you know, all those who are in Asia who had heard this message have turned away from the Word of God rightly divided. They've turned away from the simplicity of this gospel message. You see how in chapter 3, he lays out what's going to happen to the body of Christ and how individuals are going to be pulled away from the truth of God's Word rightly divided, and they're going to end up looking exactly like the rest of this world. And he gives the information that's needed for how to prevent this from happening. If we go over to chapter number 4, and we'll start right at verse 1, to see how Paul's going to lay out what individuals need to do to make sure they're not falling into this trap. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And you see how the very first thing that he has to tell Timothy is, preach the word. The word is where the whole focus needs to be. The word is what's going to accomplish all of these other things. And you see how he's talking about that exhortation that is with long suffering and doctrine. The long suffering is because it takes a while for individuals to actually see what God's word says. And the only way that they're actually going to see it is if the doctrine is being preached to them. If the word of God rightly divided is being preached, the exhortation is going to happen, and it cannot happen through trickery. It cannot happen through uncleanness. It cannot happen through lying to try to get somebody to put their trust in what God's Word actually says for them today. Now, in our next episode, we will actually start verse number 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook, live on YouTube. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments on anything that's on our website, anything that's you hear in one of these broadcasts, we would love to hear from you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.